What does gas chromatography mass spectrometry have to do with today's treat?
Find out next on Junk Food.
Yeah, welcome to Junk Food, the podcast about junk food, where we rate and review mystery treats to determine which one will be the undisputed champion of snacks. I'm your host, Mike. Alongside me, as always, Alyssa.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Liz.
All right. What has five toes but isn't your foot?
What has five toes but isn't your foot?
Uh-huh.
Wow, I have no idea.
My foot.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I guess that's technically true. That's a good one. That was a dad joke, a joke you tell to your dad. If you'd like to submit a dad joke for Alyssa to tell me on the show, you can send it in to us via X or Threads or Blue Sky at JunkFeudPod or via email to JunkFeudPod@gmail.com. Liz.
Yes.
Welcome back once again to the world's yeetest podcast.
The yeetest show on earth.
Good read.
Very mid, giving them the egg super buzz and hitting them with the reception every week.
Liz, this is a slow week for you because basketball season is over.
Really had to bring that up.
I did. You know, well, it's over for you, I should say. I should, you know, lay that out right here. The NBA, obviously, barely halfway done with their season. Just had the All-Star break not too long ago, which I didn't watch. Did you watch the NBA All-Star game?
No.
No, but apparently a bunch of people were upset because the All-Stars didn't play defense in the game and there were like 400 points scored or something absurd like that. What do you think about that, Liz?
Not good.
Do you think the NBA players should have to play defense in an exhibition game?
No.
I don't think so either. It should be like the Pro Bowl where they like barely put on pads and just pretend, right?
Yeah.
I used to look forward to the NBA All-Star weekend when I was a kid because of the slam dunk contest. That was a big deal. I don't know if people still care about this that much anymore. I know the format has undergone some changes, but I do recall being very young and just being simply amazed at some of the things that guys like Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan were doing in the late 1980s. And then like Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon in the 2010s. And of course, Vin Carter, Vinsanity in the 2000s. We were just watching some videos of NBA dunk contest slam dunks. Perfect 50 scores, right?
Yeah.
What did you think about some of those?
They're crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it? Did you see little Spud Webb do a self-alley-oop? He's 5'6", Alyssa, and he can dunk. That's wild. That'd be like you dunking.
I am not 5'6".
Well, no, not yet. You might be someday, I guess.
I really hope so.
Do you ever think you're going to be able to dunk a basketball, Alyssa?
Maybe on like a 7.5-foot hoop.
No, not on the real 10-foot hoop?
No, but I can almost hit the 7.5-foot hoop.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good vertical. There were no dunks in your playoff basketball game, Alyssa.
No.
One girl was pretty tall, though. She might have a shot at it.
She was literally like a wall. Like she was like a building.
I don't know.
How is she in seventh grade?
I don't know why you guys kept trying to shoot through her. Like when it didn't work the first four times.
We should just stop.
You should have tried something else. Yeah. You know, I don't want to bring back any bad memories, obviously, for you. But I brought this up to ask you, Alyssa, what you like to eat when you're feeling down. You guys were pretty upset when you lost that game. Ice cream. Yeah. Yeah, ice cream is good depression food. I mean, if you watch like TV, there's always some frumpy nobody sitting on the couch in their sweatpants or their PJs, stuffing down a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
That's sort of the archetype.
That's
for that.
What we should have gotten at Target.
Ben and Jerry's?
Cookie dough.
Oh, just like cookie dough. Remix, cookie dough. Liz, you guys were pretty upset that you lost that game. You had a really, really great season this year.
Yeah, we were like 14-3.
I know. I think you guys expected to win it all, didn't you?
Yeah.
Thought you were going to go all the way. I thought so too. But you know, when things don't go your way, some people like to eat, and it's called eating your feelings. You've heard that before, right?
That's what Mom says I do sometimes.
She says you eat your feelings?
Yeah.
What do you eat when you're eating your feelings? You said ice cream already. What else? What do you like to have when you're feeling blue?
Avocado toast, because I have that before school every day.
And you're sad because you have to go to school?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a very teenager thing of you to say.
No, school is so bad.
I don't believe you.
Well, I like...
You do like school.
I just don't like how each class is like 47 whole minutes.
47 whole minutes.
I literally
wow.
count from the start of class. I'm 46.
Have you ever been to a 4.5-hour budget meeting?
No.
No, of course not. Liz, we're talking about eating... our feelings and eating when you're sad. What do you think is the saddest food?
A blueberry.
A blueberry. Hey, the dad joke segment is over, by the way. That was pretty good, though. Yeah, sad foods. I mean, like, gas station sushi probably is a sad food.
Red Bull.
Red Bull? Yeah, I'd say Red Bull is a sad food. A lot of people like Red Bull, but something has to be going very wrong in my life for me to be drinking a Red Bull. You're trying, for the listeners at home who can't see this, you're trying to get me to smell the back of your hand? Why is this? What am I supposed to be smelling? Okay. Does it smell like Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Papa Tui body wash that we saw today at Target?
No. It smells like tulips.
Tulips. Tulips. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I associate the smell of tulips with the spring, obviously.
I don't like the spring.
You don't like the spring, the entire season.
Because I get sick in the spring.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I saw an article today, a study had been done that attributed a certain percentage increase in traffic accidents to spring pollen season.
What?
Yeah, because all the pollen gets on the cars and the roadways and it decreases visibility and people get sick and their eyes get all itchy and watery. And there's a practical effect whereby there are more car accidents when there's more pollen out. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Pollen makes you sad, huh?
Yeah.
Liz, I think I know what the saddest food is.
What?
A cold hot dog. Like a hard bread.
The cafeteria hamburgers with like the chunks in it.
Oh, yeah. Those are awful.
Or that Slim Jim from the dollar store.
Oh, the Tijuana Mama. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Yeah, you'd have to be in dire straits to get me to eat that again, I think. Yeah, cafeteria hamburgers. Very bad. They have sort of that like gray slickness to them and everything. It's just gummy. That's awful. A cold hot dog, also the same way. Like it's shriveled and the bread is hard. This is all very bad.
Just stop talking about it.
I should. You're right. Well, hey, that reminds me of this week's snack because it's going to be the opposite of that, Liz.
Yeah.
Up next on Junk Food, it's
Primo Hoagie Chips.
Primo Hoagie Chips. That's right. Liz, what are Primo Hoagie Chips?
Ripple cut potato chips, artificially flavored to taste like an Italian hoagie.
That's right, Liz. We love hoagies.
Yeah.
Obviously, we did a whole episode on hoagies earlier this year in January. Liz, it's one of our most popular episodes ever. People love big sandwiches.
And they like saying John.
They like saying John. It's fun to say hoagie.
What the John?
When you try to explain to somebody what a Philadelphia accent is, there's two words, I think, that you can say that people will immediately know what you're talking about. And it's what?
No, that's New York.
Coffee is New York.
Coffee.
I was thinking of
Alyssa. That's what I'm going to have. I'm going to wake up early tomorrow. I'm going to make whipped coffee.
Whipped coffee. So how does one make whipped coffee?
It's like instant coffee, and you can mix. Well, it's just instant coffee, like with the frother.
Oh, frothed instant coffee. Yeah. Do you like coffee?
I like whipped coffee.
I mean, you liked it that one time.
It's more milk than coffee.
So it's like a slightly coffee-flavored whipped cream.
But do you know how I make it?
How's that?
It's like a little bit of the instant coffee. It's 2 tablespoons of instant coffee, 2 tablespoons of hot water, and a lot of Hershey's caramel syrup.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you whip it.
It's a dessert. Whip it good?
Yeah.
Do you know that song? Devo? Whip it?
Nope.
Whip it good. No?
Whip it good.
They wear those silly hats? They look like the top of a battery?
Dad, I was not born in like the 1850s.
The 1850s when Devo's Whip It came out. Look at the hats. It's very silly, right?
Mm, yeah. Looks like you.
It looks like me?
Yeah.
By the way, that song came out in 1980, so even older than I am, technically speaking. List the two words I was thinking of to give somebody an indication of the Philadelphia accent were water.
Water.
Water as opposed to water.
Oh, yeah.
And hoagie, of course.
Hoagie.
You got to say it like that. Like, I'm going home to have a hoagie.
I'm going home to have a hoagie.
Well, Liz, if you recall, one of the hoagies that we tried during our hoagie episode was from a place called Primo Hoagies, which you love.
I love Primos.
That's right. Started as a local Philadelphia hoagie shop on Rittner Street in 1992. Liz, today, one of the fastest growing franchises in the entire country. 113 stores now, 80 more coming soon. That is, Alyssa,
a lot of hoagies.
A lot of hoagies, for sure.
A lot of hoagies.
That's a lot of hoagies. Liz.
What?
Do you think it's risky for a franchise restaurant to grow that quickly? Put on your economist hat for a moment. For those of you at home, Alyssa is miming putting on a very large hat.
A sombrero of sorts.
El sombrero. So, la economista here, tell me, what do you think? Should a restaurant franchise try to grow that quickly?
No.
No? Do you think it's risky to do so?
Sí, mucho.
Sí, mucho. Very good. Yeah. It's hard to ensure quality, right? When you open that many stores that quickly?
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to translate your processes across a wide area with little manpower?
Sí.
But, thank you, senor, senorita.
Senorita. My Spanish teacher. So, you know, Quinn?
Shout out to Quinn.
She calls Quinn. She goes, Senorita Quinn.
Oh, that's so kind.
It's so
funny. Liz, a hoagie's hard to mess up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. It's meat and cheese and toppings on bread. And as long as all of those things are high quality, anybody should be able to put them together the right way, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the allure of a hoagie. It's a sandwich for the people.
For the people.
We make the sandwiches for the people. I remember watching a YouTube video. I think it was a Vice documentary. They went to Jamaica where these guys were making jerk chicken. And there was this one street where all the jerk chicken guys were. And the one guy just kept saying, we jerk the chicken for the people. We do it for the people. Everything we do is for the people. We make the restaurant open for the people and we feed the people for the people. It was very funny.
Wait, ever since we saw the like migration bird movie, every time I say Jamaica, I say Jamaica.
Oh, you do a fake patois accent that you shouldn't do.
Is that bad?
It's not bad, but it's very, there is this weird subculture of people who are not Jamaican who try to speak with a Jamaican accent, and it makes them look very silly mostly. Tom Hanks's son, Chet, is one of those folks.
So he gets sued probably?
No, he won't get sued. It just makes him look a little bit ridiculous, I think.
Oh, I'm suing people that make red grapes.
You're suing the people that make red grapes? Okay, who are the people that make red grapes?
I don't know, but those farmers who are planting those things and picking them, they are green. I was peeling my red grape during lunch, and it's green.
On the inside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you still like them?
No.
I think red grapes are quite good, actually.
I don't like red grapes because they are green.
Because they're green on the inside? I only used to eat green grapes when I was a kid. I was afraid of red grapes.
I love green grapes.
So wait, crunchy. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Hear me out. I like the green-skinned grapes, not the red-skinned grapes.
But you just said that red-skinned grapes are green on the inside, just like green-skinned grapes.
Yeah, but they don't taste like green-skinned grapes.
Interesting.
They taste slimy.
Slimy? You think red grapes are slimy?
Yeah.
What a world. Liz, we were talking about how easy it is to make a hoagie, right?
Yeah.
So making a sandwich isn't much of a differentiator for you if you have a hoagie restaurant. Like, even the founders of Primo said there were 1,000 other hoagie shops in Philadelphia when they started. So how do you think some of these hoagie shops keep ahead of the pack, Liz? What might they do that makes them stand out from the field?
I don't know.
Well, they do branding, right?
Yeah,
branding's kind of a big deal. Primo, in fact, did something smart, which was to attach their brand, the name of their shop, Primo Hoagies, to something that people associate with their main product. And that was, Alyssa, potato chips.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's right. You go to a hoagie shop, you get your sandwich, you get chips and a drink. That's the combo.
Yeah.
The hoagie, chips, and drink. What kind of chips do you usually get when you get a hoagie?
The little, like, jalapeno ones.
Yeah, the jalapeno chips, like the kettle jalapeno chips, the Miss Vicky's, those are really good.
Yeah, but those get pretty spicy.
They can get a little throat tickly, can't they? Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. If you're Primo Hoagies, you're not going to outcompete Coca-Cola, so you can't do anything with the drink. But you might get people to associate your name with the potato chips that you probably eat with a hoagie, and that's how hoagie chips were born, Liz.
Yeah.
That's right. So Primo's wasn't going to, you know, start growing potatoes and breaking ground on potato chip factories or anything like that. So they went into business with a local snack purveyor called Hers. We've had some Hers chips before. Make Hers yours. That was their tagline for a long time.
That's how my teacher speaks. She's like, you're her, okay.
You have a lot of opinions about school and your teachers, don't you?
My teachers
specifically
are so
the ways that
strange.
They talk.
She's like, okay.
Liz, I'm going to have to edit all this out.
But I didn't say who.
I guess that's, I forgot what it's like to be a child in school when like teachers were most of the adults that you saw during the course of the day. And they're adults who are trapped in a confined space with lots and lots of children. So,
it's literally a jail. You're not allowed to leave until the bell dismisses you. It's a prison.
It's a prison.
It is.
Is it?
It's a prison. And then, like, when your parents take you out, it's like they're buzzing you out of the thing
that
to
is
go
true.
To, like, the courtyard or something to work out.
Well, I had to pick up your brother from after-school tutoring today, and I had to go through two sets of double doors and be buzzed into both of them.
Mm-hmm. It's literally prison.
Well, look at you, young libertarian here. Liz, we were saying...
I want to be a lawyer.
Well, guess what lawyers have to do a lot of?
Make a lot of money.
Go to school.
Never mind. I don't want to be a lawyer.
And don't hold out for that lawyers making a whole lot of money thing if generative artificial intelligence has anything to say about that. Alyssa.
What?
Primos teams up with HERS, a Philadelphia institution since 1946, and they release their own branded hoagie chips in a soft launch on Super Bowl Sunday. Alyssa, a good day to release a chip brand.
They should have released it the day before and then had it advertised.
Well, that was just their soft launch, so that was sort of like a marketing scheme where they had it in just a few stores so that they could advertise it for the Super Bowl. But then later, Alyssa, they released them widely on March 14th, 2019, which was National Potato Chip Day.
Whoa!
Yeah, pretty smart, huh?
Yeah.
So, Liz, what else was going on in 2019?
Tom Brady and the Patriots won their sixth Super Bowl.
Wow.
Wait, is that in a row?
No, that was six total for Tom Brady and the Pats. Up to that point.
Wait, Tom Brady still plays, right?
No, he's retired now, but he did retire and then come back and then win another Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now he makes rental car commercials.
Brady luck. Oh, wait. I think I know Tom Brady.
I hope so. He's the most famous and best football player of all time, unfortunately.
I remember him because his teeth look like veneers.
Well, they probably are.
Oh.
Okay. Go on.
Green Book won the Oscar for Best Picture.
You seen Green Book?
No.
Me neither.
The Flying Walendas.
Walendas.
Walendas walked a tightrope above Times Square.
That's what Grandpa used to call me and Uncle Matt and Uncle Pat when we would jump on the beds. The Flying Walendas. You know what Papa Walenda said?
What?
If you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. Go on.
R. Kelly was arrested.
Uh-huh.
What's the first name or the last name? Or whatever the R stands for.
His name is Robert Kelly, but he professionally went by the name R. Kelly. He was an R&B singer and also a molester of sorts. Yeah, he was a very bad person.
The NCAA agreed to pay college athletes.
Hooray.
The Nationals won the World Series.
Uh-huh.
The Nationals.
The Washington Nationals, where Bryce Harper came from.
Oh. Bebe the panda went back to China.
Uh-huh.
April the giraffe's fifth baby was born.
Everybody remembers April the giraffe, April the pregnant giraffe in 2019. Your mother was watching her webcam like all day, every day.
Why?
I don't know why, because it was fun to watch a pregnant giraffe. See, there she is, April the giraffe.
She looks like any other giraffe.
Well, yeah, but she was pregnant.
And she had five babies?
At least.
Are watching and her give birth?
Yeah.
What? That is terrible.
I mean, it was probably not great for April, but I'm sure the baby was happy about being born.
Okay, anyway. Mean Gene Okerlund died.
Mean Gene Okerlund. The greatest wrestling interviewer of all time, probably.
Yeah.
You know Mean Gene?
No.
1980s, best known probably for being a foil to Hulk Hogan in the WWF. Or not really a foil, but...
Rest in peace.
Yeah, RIP to a real one. Mean Gene Okerlund, the legend. Liz.
What?
2019 was a good year to release a hoagie-flavored chip. Do you know why?
I think it's actually a bad year.
Whoa, I'm sorry. Why is it a bad year?
It was literally when... Wait, March 2019? Isn't that exactly when COVID like hit?
March 2020, dear, was when the world started to shut down.
Oh, same thing. So think about this.
Okay.
The chip is released, uh-huh. And then we go into a global pandemic and no one can leave their house.
Well, I mean, a full year later, yeah.
Yes, but there's no going out and getting them if you're stuck in quarantine.
Absolutely true. Well, here's the reason that I think 2019 was a good year to release a hoagie-flavored chip, Liz. It was because all the hard work of creating and marketing a hoagie-flavored chip had already been done because the year prior in 2018, HERS competitor Utz released their very own Italian hoagie-flavored chip.
Herutz.
Herutz. That's both of them together. A mashup.
Or it could be Utzer.
Utzers.
Utz. We should have a brand Utzer.
We should have a brand name of snacks called Utzers.
Not of snacks. Of meals.
Of meals? What kind of meals would Utzers serve?
Mashed potatoes.
You can't whisper, or we can't hear. It gets cut
mashed
out.
Mashed potatoes.
Sorry, what?
Mashed potatoes.
Utzers mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
That's a far leap from potato chips to mashed potatoes, isn't it?
I've got another one.
Okay, go on.
The Dorito Bowl.
Utzers Dorito Bowls. So we're going to co-opt another brand. Okay.
Or actually, Utzers Bowl.
Well, why don't you write the business plan for this? Put your sombrero back on, write the business plan, and then let me know how that goes. Liz, a reviewer from the Philly Voice magazine said the Utz hoagie-flavored chips smelled like a South Philly dive bar and tasted like if you freeze-dried an actual hoagie and then gave it to an astronaut. So, surprisingly enough, that was a positive review. They actually did like them.
Oh.
Yeah, so nevertheless, all that notwithstanding, Primo's and hers, when they made their chips, said that it took them 6 months of research and development to come up with the right flavor profile. And they advertised this as being a mix of prosciutto, provolone cheese, hot capicola, and natural casing Genoa salami.
I think they should have put a little jalapeno.
That would have been interesting. It would not have been an Italian hoagie traditionally, though.
True.
But probably pretty good. I guess you could get these chips and mix them with like the kettle cooked jalapeno chips. What do you think that would do?
Make it spicy.
Probably, yeah. So Liz, those things we just mentioned, those are definitely some of the flavors of an Italian hoagie. What else is there besides prosciutto, provolone, hot capicola, and Genoa salami?
Like smoky and porky.
Yeah, there's like smoky and porky flavors from the ham products. What else?
Like cream from the cheese.
Yeah, sort of like a funky, creamy tang from the cheese, the provolone cheese in particular.
Yeah.
What else?
Spicy and tangy.
Spiciness from the cured and spiced meats, like the hot capicola and some of the salami, sure. And then there's like the heartiness of the bread, obviously, of the hoagie roll. Nuttiness from sesame seeds, if they're on there. Sort of cool and crisp sensations from the lettuce, sort of that vegetality, if that's a word. Acid and sweetness from tomatoes. There's that pungent bite of raw onion, if you get the raw onion on the hoagie. That's sort of like a big one for hoagie flavors. A good hoagie also has salt, pepper, and oregano to round everything out. Liz, we're going to see if this chip has all of those things. And then furthermore, of course, if you can actually taste it.
Dad.
Liz.
We forgot about the snackitizer.
Oh my goodness, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
You want to save it for the next show?
No.
No, you're hungry right now?
Yes.
All right, let's take a pause for the cause and give Alyssa a snackitizer, which I said we were going to do at the top of the show and then forgot about.
Yeah.
Liz, what do I have here?
You have Dots pretzels.
Yeah, Dots pretzels. Liz, there's lots of different types of Dots pretzels. You like Dots pretzels. You eat the original red bag seasoned pretzels. This is a blue bag, Alyssa. It says at the top, bold and zesty. And I got these and thought of you because...
Because I'm bold and zesty?
Because you're bold and zesty. Sure. No, because you like things like jalapeno flavored. And
oh,
these
yeah.
are, Alyssa, Southwest seasoned... Bold and zesty, sure.
I thought you called me bold and zesty.
Good grief. Yes, these are Southwest seasoned pretzel twists. Bold and zesty. These are interesting because if you're looking at some of the ingredients in here, there's the artificial butter flavoring, obviously, that Dots Pretzels has. And then there's cheese, and there's red bell pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, jalapeno peppers, citric acid, lime juice, solids. So there's all sorts of interesting Southwesty, spicy.
Have you ever had these before?
I have, yes. And I think they're very good.
Are they really spicy?
They're not really spicy, but you've had these before as well because we got these at Aunt Judy and Uncle Jeff's house when we were out there.
I thought we had a different kind of these.
No, these were the kind we got. In fact, that was the first place I had ever seen them in Colorado last year. So what do you think, Liz? Of the blue bag, bold and zesty, Dots homestyle pretzels, Southwest seasoned pretzel twists. That's a lot to say.
Now I remember. I don't like them.
You're making a face. You don't like them. I thought you would really like these.
I
like these a lot because they have sort of like a spicy jalapeno taco flavor to them. If you imagine these as like a spicy taco pretzel, that's what I get.
Yeah.
And I very much like the dehydrated jalapeno flavor. If you remember when we were eating the guacamole Takis, the guacky Takis, they had sort of that very herbal, very grassy sort of jalapeno flavor to them. And it's a nice complement to what's traditionally just like a straightforward salty snack.
I think these are too, they're a little too spicy.
Wow, really? You think these are too spicy?
And they're a little too grassy.
I think the butter sort of rounds out the spiciness. But nevertheless, these are good, very salty.
I think they would be better without the butter part.
Yeah, you know what? I think so too, which is odd because I think that's the allure of the Dots pretzels is the artificial butter flavoring on them. I think that's what a lot of people look to them for.
Yeah.
But neither of us are crazy about it.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, I do like these. I'm going to eat a bunch of them. Just not right now because we're going to get back to talking about, Alyssa, Primo's hoagie chips. And we were just talking about putting all of the flavors of a hoagie, which is a multi-ingredient, complex type of food, into a single potato chip. Liz, how do you get all those flavors into a chip?
Well, food science?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. You probably guessed at home that it was food science. Something practiced in a laboratory, obviously. And you'd be right. In fact, there is one right there in Philadelphia called the Monell Chemical Senses Center, which does exactly this thing. Listen, we've talked about flavor compounds on the show before. They're these chemical cocktails that can sort of mimic the taste of just about anything based on the way that the essential flavors combine on the palate and in the aromas of the foods. Listen.
What?
The way these compounds are isolated and synthesized is through the use of a technique called, do you want to try to say it?
Chromatography.
Gas chromatography, mass spectrometry. Liz, this is amazing. It's a technique where food scientists will vaporize and then individually isolate aromatic molecules and be able to tell from a readout exactly what those different molecules are. And then there's like a smellotron at the end. I don't know what to call it. And a scientist, an actual person, smells these individual flavor compounds and then says what they are. That sounds like an amazing job to me.
Yeah.
Like, so cool to be, people ask you what you do and you say, oh, I'm a scientist. And they say, well, what kind of science? And you say, I smell stuff. That would be fun. And, you know, once you can isolate those flavor compounds, Liz, it's a matter then of just finding the right combination of flavors in the right amounts to replicate the thing that you're trying to build and sell to people, essentially. There is an entire industry that's built up around doing this well. There's even a trade journal, Liz, a publication called Perfumer and Flavorist, where all the papers about the breakthroughs that they make in food science flavorings are published on a regular basis. You can read it. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Well, I mean, if you like reading trade journals about perfumes and flavors, yes, absolutely. But it's tricky too, Liz. There is an art to being able to make something that people actually like and will want to eat. Here's an example. There's a specific compound. I think they're called trials. I can't remember. But in very small amounts, they taste just like passion fruit. You like passion fruit, right?
What is passion fruit?
It's a fruit.
With passion?
It's like a tropical fruit. Yeah. Like, remember when we had some of the Mike and Ikes and there were tropical fruit flavors?
Yeah.
There were passion fruit Mike and Ikes in there.
See,
it's like a little tropical fruit. Well, you've probably never eaten an actual passion fruit, but you've had like, they're all kind of similar, like those tropical fruits.
I've had this before.
You've had a guava before, for sure. Guava's fun to say.
Oh, I also know that I have this.
It's, what is that?
It's a dark spot serum.
You have guava dark spot serum?
Yeah.
Sorry, do you at 13 have many dark spots?
Uh-uh.
No, of course not. Is it because you use the serum?
It came in a pack.
Oh, I see. Well, Liz, here's the thing. Those compounds that we were talking about that smell like passion fruit and taste like passion fruit in small amounts, if you have too much of them together, then the flavor changes and they taste like cat pee.
Oh.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
So,
oh, there's these things I want to try.
Cat pee gummies?
No. There are these little, I think they're called like miracle berries.
Miracle berries. Okay. I've heard of this. Go on. Tell me about them.
And they like, after you eat them, it makes like sour stuff sweet.
Mm, interesting. I have heard of this before. So you can eat like things that taste disgusting, but if you eat the miracle fruit, it will make it taste sweet, right?
I think so. I saw some people do it and they did like the miracle berries and then they squeezed a lemon and ate the lemon.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, they said it tasted like overly sweet lemonade.
Wow, that's interesting. Speaking of overly sweet, Liz, I had a sugar beet apple today. Wow, those things are good. It's like eating candy. I couldn't believe it.
Can we try the miracle berries?
Maybe. We'll have to check that out. That would be a good segment for the show to do on the back of the box.
Yeah.
Liz, there's some other tricks too. Aside from just making things taste like something that you want them to taste like, you can use some psychological tricks. People respond to colors pretty well, Alyssa. So like a red chip, if you make the color on the chip more red, people will think that it's hotter than it is or taste meatier than it is. Mm-hmm. If something is yellow, you will probably perceive it to be cheesier than it actually is.
Yeah.
Also, identifying the flavor on the bag, like actually printing what you want it to taste like on the bag, makes people think that it will taste like that thing. So if you like blind taste tested a bunch of these complex potato chip flavors, you probably wouldn't be able to pick it up without a prompt. But if you say, this is a chip that tastes like a taco, and somebody eats it, they'll say, oh, it tastes like a taco. I can taste beef and cheese and lettuce and tomato and corn crunchy shell and all that kind of stuff. And Liz, what? We were talking about complex potato chip flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, howdy, are there a lot of flavors,
oh,
Alyssa.
Please, don't.
Don't what? Don't tell you about all these flavors?
Don't say boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy.
Okay, Dad.
On this program, we will discuss.
No. Okay.
Is there anything else you don't like that I can do right now?
No.
Okay. Liz, the Australian Museum of Crisps, which is an actual thing, has cataloged online get this, a whopping 1,348 different flavors of potato chips.
Holy, holy.
Now, listen, you know all the basic ones. There's a Canadian YouTuber, his name's JJ McCullough, and he's a sort of a cultural anthropologist, but he studies American popular culture. And he says there are four canonical chip flavors in the United States. There's plain, which is just like a salted potato chip, and then barbecue, and then sour cream and onion, and then salt and vinegar. But then beyond that, anything that can be eaten, and even some things that can't, Alyssa, can be a potato chip flavor.
True.
Now, just this week, by the time you listen to this, it will be weeks in the past, but just this week, Lay's released a collaboration with IHOP, the International House of Pancakes list. And these were potato chips that were flavored to taste like, get this, and I hate saying this, the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Breakfast at IHOP. Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity.
Now you sound zesty.
I do. I sound bold and zesty. Thank you. Liz, if you go to IHOP, will you order the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Breakfast by name?
No.
I have to say, it is a pet peeve of mine when restaurants give silly names to the foods that they have on their menu. Like Moe's, the burrito place, names all of their different burritos after like Easter eggs from movies. And it bothers me to say, I'd like a Tyler Durden with extra pinto beans. That's a dumb thing. I just want to say, I'll have the chicken or I'll have the steak. It doesn't have to be like the super crunchified donkey burger or whatever. Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Anyway, the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Breakfast at IHOP, which I cannot stop myself from saying right now, is now in a potato chip. And according to early reviews, I couldn't find any of these. I tried so hard. I went to four different stores today. None of the Walmarts had them. It's a Walmart exclusive, and I couldn't find them anywhere. It's a single chip, Alyssa, that tastes like an entire meal. It has like a pancake and maple syrup flavor, and it has fresh fruit, and then it has bacon, all this kind of stuff in one chip, which is like, this is like the Willy Wonka dream come true.
Yeah.
When Violet Beauregard chewed the gum that was a four-course meal.
Yeah.
Liz, we've eaten some odd chips on this show, haven't we?
Yeah.
Some that we didn't like.
100%.
We had those Philly cheesesteak chips, and they were very bad.
Yeah.
They were trying to do the provolone cheese and it just tasted like feet.
Yeah.
But we had the Minecraft Forbidden Stew Pringles, didn't we?
I thought it was Suspicious Stew.
Suspicious Stew, that's right. Thank you. Oh, good grief. I'm a bit out of touch there. No, it's the children who are wrong. Liz, the Suspicious Stew Pringles. Again, Suspicious Stew, not a real thing. A video game concept, but made into a real food. And we thought those tasted pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
That was like a complex, layered flavor. I was really impressed by that.
I want them to make a chili Lay's.
Chili Lay's.
Like the soup chili thing.
Yeah, like chili, like the meaty stew, yes.
Yeah.
That would be good. I think there have been like chili cheese dog or chili cheese.
Or there's
cheese
like chili
burger.
Cheese Fritos or something chili cheese. Like that.
Oh, yeah, there's the chili cheese Fritos. Those are really good. That's probably the closest you're going to get on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Lay's, the company in particular, has become quite adept at pushing the boundaries of complex chip flavors, Liz. They regularly have these contests where people like us come up with new flavors and help Lay's develop them into saleable products. And there have been biscuit and gravy chips.
Ew.
Your mom likes biscuits and gravy. Your mom.
You had those in Colorado.
I did. That's right. I had a really big plate of biscuits and gravy at this really nice restaurant we went to in the hotel we were staying at. That was fantastic. Fried green tomato chips. Shout out to my friend Mike in Alabama who likes fried green tomatoes. Chicken and waffles. I had those. I did not care for them.
I love the IHOP chicken and waffles. But not the waffles.
You just like the chicken?
Yeah.
They have really good chicken tenders there.
Yeah.
There's something about trying to put fried chicken flavor into a potato chip that doesn't exactly work for me. You know what did work? The John's Roast Pork Italian Sandwich chips that we had last year from the Philadelphia flavor profiles. Those were pretty good. I remember at least once having BLT flavored chips.
Really?
Yeah, we had BLTs for dinner tonight, didn't we?
Yeah.
We sure did, and they were good. And I gotta say, I could swear on these BLT flavored chips that I could taste the lettuce in a potato chip. Like there was this vegetal quality to the chip that couldn't have been anything but lettuce. It was like, I don't know how they did it because it was making my mouth water like I was eating a crunchy piece of iceberg lettuce that was just, you know, expressing all the liquid. I was blown away by this. It does not take a lot to amaze me apparently, but I haven't had much luck with the sweet versions of potato chips, Liz.
You could see a fly like just flying around and you'd be like, oh, wow.
I mean, there's wonder everywhere you look in this world.
Okay, Dad. That's enough.
Oh, you took like 30 pictures of a sunset today.
That is an okay thing to do.
Well, yeah, I agree. But you know, there's one of those every day.
No, but not a pretty one like today.
Mm. It
today
was very nice
today. Because it was
true.
Right over the mountain. Mm.
I'm sorry, Beyonce. Would you like to do that again?
No.
Yeah, I don't like the sweet sort of, you know, like stunt potato chip flavors. The savory profiles work better, I think. But there have been cinnamon roll chips. There was a cappuccino flavored chip, Alyssa. Can you have those afternoon? Isn't that the cappuccino rule? Nothing afternoon. I don't know. I think the most impressive is a potato chip that tastes like something that's obviously very complex, like a Reuben sandwich. The Reuben has rye bread and corned beef and sauerkraut and then like Russian or Thousand Island dressing and Swiss cheese, and it's all melted together and then it's grilled. And getting all of those things right is really hard to do, but it's a thing that Lay's did in their Do Me a Flavor contest. That's a pretty good pun, actually. Do Me a Flavor.
Yeah.
We should have had that on this show.
We should have.
But I think that might have been my favorite of all these stunt chips, the Lay's Reubens.
Really?
And now it's time for my favorite part of this show. Alyssa reads the ingredients list. What's in Primo Hoagie Chips?
Potatoes. Uh-huh. Vegetable oil contains one or more of the following. Corn, cotton seed, soybean, sunflower. Seasoning is corn maltodextrin, mm-hmm. onion powder, sugar, salt, monosodium glutamate.
Mm-hmm.
Natural and artificial flavoring, yeast extract, part skim, mozzarella cheese,
wow.
part skim milk, salt, cultures, enzymes, spices, non-fat dry milk, garlic powder, citric acid, white vinegar, powder, disodium phosphate, disodium inosinate, and disodium guanylate,
mm-hmm.
paprika extract, titanium dioxide, natural smoke flavor, red 40, yellow 5, blue 1, and salt.
Wow, so there's a lot of interesting stuff in here, Liz. Like, obviously the things we would expect, onion powder, sugar, salt, MSG, but then mozzarella cheese, part skim mozzarella cheese. That, plus the yeast extract, I guess is what they're using to try to approximate the provolone flavor?
I guess.
And the non-fat dry milk as well, and then there's garlic powder, and there's vinegar. Natural smoke for the meatiness. This is all really fascinating
to
me.
So people with a dairy allergy can't have this?
Yeah, absolutely not. Okay. There's real dairy in there. Liz, let's get to the rules of the game. Junk Feud is a culinary clash to see which treat will be crowned the undisputed champion of snacks. It's a King of the Mountain style battle in which the reigning champ takes on a new challenger each week to see which snack reigns supreme. And Alyssa?
Yeah?
The reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is...
Takis.
Takis. Liz, if you had told me before we were going to do this show that I would think that Takis were a better junk food than Lucky Charms, I probably would have said you were eating magic mushrooms instead of magic marshmallows, Liz. Doing this show has really keyed me in on what we like in snacks, what works in food science, and the psychology of eating. I like crunchy salt, and Takis was such a well-constructed snack. I really like them a lot.
Yeah.
But today, Liz, today we're trying Primo's Hoagie Chips.
Yeah.
Now, I picked these up at our local Primo Hoagies location. They're $3.99 for a 6-ounce bag. A few years ago, I would have been furious about a bag of chips costing $4.
Yeah.
But I go to the grocery store now, Liz. In our current shrinkflation snack economy, this is kind of a big deal. A $3.99 bag of chips is not that bad.
Yeah.
A bag of Doritos is like $7.50 now. It's wild. If there is... One upside I will say to the whole shrinkflation thing, it's that portion sizes are starting to become more manageable. You're still paying more for less. Companies are not giving you as much product, but they're charging you just as much money or sometimes more. But the temptation to eat an entire bag of chips now is slightly less catastrophic than it would have been in the past.
Yeah.
So that's good. Liz, we have no additional challengers today. The Utz Hoagie Chips from 2018 have been discontinued for some time. I tried to find some wacky flavors so we would like have something else, but there's kind of a chip lull right now. There was nothing... going on. I think some of the new weird flavors should come by around the summertime again.
Oh, I hope not.
You don't want to try any of those?
We need to keep our summer bods.
I keep telling your mom, I am in shape. Round is a shape. It's pretty good, right? I knew you would like that one. Liz.
Because it talks about my favorite thing, the topic of you being fat.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was that I'm old.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Very good. Liz, it's crunch time.
Crunch time.
We rate our snacks using a tier list from Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
So snacks can be graded A, B, C, D, or F with the very best treats earning the elusive S tier ranking. The following contest is scheduled for one serving.
One serving.
And it's for the undisputed championship of junk food, Alyssa.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's a bag of... Hoagie chips.
Alyssa, this is half of a bag of hoagie chips.
What is that?
It's a hoagie.
It's a jalapeno.
It's not. It's a banana pepper, but that's a good
That looks like a jalapeno.
That is a sweet pepper. So there's sweets and hots on the hoagie. I should say, first of all, we have half of a bag of chips because somebody got into the stash before the show today. I picked these up this afternoon, and already you've eaten half of this bag. So that should tell you something about what you think about hoagie
chips.
Just
saying, they do not fill this bag enough.
Uh-huh.
They don't.
Well, tell me about the bag.
They feel like here.
Tell me about what you see on the bag here, because you were just going through it.
It's the Italian flag.
That's right. The top of the bag is the Italian flag with the name Primo Hoagies at the top. I think that font should be bigger. The name should be bigger, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
It's a big sub.
There is a big picture of a hoagie on the front, though, on the seated hoagie roll. And it's an Italian hoagie, right, Liz? What do you see on it?
Turkey.
No.
Or ham.
Yeah.
Provolone cheese.
Uh-huh.
Lettuce.
Uh-huh.
Onions.
Uh-huh.
Tomatoes.
Uh-huh. And then sweets and hots. Sweet peppers and hot peppers, which is interesting because that's not standard. That comes additional.
I'm very proud of them for saying product enlarged to show texture.
That's right. You got to be honest on your...
That is a giant chip.
That is a big chip. And it's got little flecks of red and green on it, doesn't it? Liz, tell me about what this bag smells like when you open it up, because it's a strong odor.
Hold on. It smells like pizza.
It does smell a little bit like pizza. It
smells like a bowling alley pizza.
It does. It smells like a bowling alley pizza, like a sweet, tangy, tomato-y, oregano flavor that's coming right off of this. Now, I didn't specifically mention oregano on the ingredients, but I don't think you have to. I think that's one of the things that counts as spices. So immediately, we're going to notice, Liz, these are just your standard Hers chips, the ripple-cut big old potato chips. Not super thin and crispy like a Lay's chip, but also not super thick and crunchy like a kettle chip, like right in the middle with the ridges. They are well dusted with this powder.
Not well enough.
There are red and green flecks on the chips for color. They're not as bright and pronounced as they are on the bag, but you can still see them there. This is very interesting. To me, Alyssa, this tastes like a sour cream and onion chip with some more stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you close your eyes and really pretend, you can get a little bit of smokiness that's supposed to be the meat on the hoagie. Not a lot, but just a little bit. There is somehow a raw onion flavor. There's a bit of sweetness and tang. That's from the sugar, probably, but it approximates the tomato. And I swear, Liz, I can taste lettuce. I don't know how they do that.
I don't taste lettuce.
There's a little bit of spiciness. Not like any heat or anything. These aren't like hot Cheeto level chips. They don't taste exactly like an Italian hoagie. Like if somebody handed me this bag of chips and said, eat this, what does it taste like? Without being prompted, I wouldn't be able to say Italian hoagie. But I would probably say like a spicy sour cream and onion kind of thing. Now, I will say there is one effect of trying these chips. And I was keyed into this by a review that I read of them online, where somebody said, the flavor of the Primo hoagie chip is not an Italian hoagie. It's the flavor of having just finished eating an Italian hoagie. Like, this is sort of the lingering aftertaste that's left in your mouth of oil and vinegar and onion and meat and cheese and bread. That's all sort of mashed and mangled together after you've chewed it down into nothing. You're very quiet now as you're eating these. What do you think?
I'm trying to process.
I know that you love these because you eat them all the time.
Yeah.
You beg me to go to the store and pick these up for you.
Yeah. I agree with the aftertaste thing.
Yeah, it's like the flavor that I get from this is if I was eating a bag of chips while I was eating a hoagie, and sort of all those sensations coming together at the same time is a hoagie chip.
Yeah.
These are good. They're novel because they're trying to do something, I won't say fun and exciting, but as close to that as you can get with a potato chip, right?
Yeah.
I like it. Let's hit the bliss point. What do you think? There's a good bliss point on these.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, there's all the things we expect to find. Salt, fat, acid, heat, MSG. You could compulsively snack on these. Like, I've seen you eat an entire bag of these. So we know it's possible.
That's okay. We don't have to share.
So what do we say? What's the rating? What's our score from Sprinkles to Fun Dip for the Primo Hoagies Italian Hoagie flavored chips?
A-.
A-. Wow, that's strong, Liz. An A- is a good potato chip. I'm going to try one more and then give my final thoughts.
I feel like these tasted different over the summer.
Really? What do you mean?
I don't know. I feel like it was less of a potato chip in it. I just felt like there was more flavor.
You think they were more strongly flavored over the summer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it could also be because I was eating like a sub with it.
Mm, that's possible. I mean, I think these are a great complement to an Italian hoagie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really neat way to eat them. So you said A minus. Liz, I think I'm probably around like a B plus, A minus. Yeah, I'll say A minus. I admire what they tried to do here. I want people to take big swings. Making a chip taste like a sandwich with a bunch of stuff on it is a big swing in the snack food world. I'm impressed by it. The fact that I could trick myself into tasting fresh vegetables on a potato chip is wonderful. So yeah, A minus from both of us. What do you think? Better than Takis?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, again, the Taki is a singular thing right now. And these are interesting. But at the end of the day, they're a chip with a flavor powder on them. I guess a Taki is that too. But I don't know, sort of in a different way with a different bit of cultural cachet. So Liz, I guess we're going to say it. You're a winner and still reigning, defending, undisputed champion of snacks, Takis.
Yeah.
Takis. Liz.
Huh.
Good news.
What?
The Oreo rule is in effect.
Finally.
Yeah, we found dirt cake, flavor cream, artificially flavored, limited edition Oreos with gummy worm inspired sprinkles on top. That's the full title of these things.
Are you kidding
me?
I'm disappointed.
You wanted them to be actual gummy worm flavored?
You know what would have been so much better? If they had gummy worms like around the outside of the Oreo.
Around the outside?
Dad.
I think that would be pretty good too. You're right. We have the small box of the special limited edition dirt cake cream.
One serving Oreo is equal to two Oreos. So two Oreos are 140 calories.
Yeah, that's about standard for these. So let's pluck one of these out here. Okay, so they smell chocolatey.
Are we sure this is fake glitter?
These
look like shards of plastic.
Yeah, the gummy worm inspired sprinkles on top is just, it's just edible food glitter, which comes in, it does look very plasticky. Probably doesn't taste like anything. I'm glad they did it. It's a nice nod. It probably doesn't add anything. It blends in with the dark Oreo.
You can't even
cookie.
See it.
You can barely see it. There's two layers of cream on here, Liz. So there's like a dark chocolate cream, which looks kind of like the one from the blackout cake. And then there's the dirt cake flavored cream, which looks like Oreo cream mixed with Oreo pieces, because that's kind of what dirt pudding is. It's like chocolate pudding with crushed up Oreos.
It just tastes like an all chocolate Oreo.
You say it just tastes like a chocolate Oreo. So in this, I'd be looking for a little bit of cookies and cream flavor, but like a chocolate cookies and cream. Like if you get a chocolate cookies and cream milkshake.
Yeah.
So the cookie itself tasted like an Oreo cookie, but it did have a little bit of crunch from the glitter, which is nice. The gummy worm sprinkles there.
The glitter is stuck on one of my teeth and it's poking my gum and I can't get it out.
I like this. They're not bad. I could see how it's dirt cake flavored. It's sort of like a mild chocolate pudding sort of flavor for the cream in the middle.
Yeah.
Balanced by the darker chocolate cream. It's got a little bit of that, not quite the tang that the blackout cake had. I don't know. Good. What do you think?
Yeah, it's good. I'll give it like a B flat.
B flat? Yeah, I'd go B minus. I think these are good, but you know, not up to the standard of the Space Dunk Oreo.
I always, for some reason, on like some of the foods, I give them like a grade up from what I usually think they are because I feel I grade them like they're people, like that, like the food's feelings will get hurt.
It's interesting that we anthropomorphize things like that. I mean, you do have to consider this. And we've learned it on this show from doing all the research that we do. There are real people that are responsible for these foods, and they pour, in some cases, their heart and soul into making these things. Now, something like a dirt cake Oreo probably is not anyone's like brainchild. It was most likely created by committee in a Nabisco laboratory somewhere to fit something onto a schedule because they had to make certain earnings for a certain quarter. But, you know, somebody had to think of this. Somebody had to figure it out. Somebody had to produce it, make it work, get it in the package, get it to the store, get it to us, and then we eat it and we're like, eh, man, B minus, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like
a person walking up to you and being like, what do you think of me? Like, you're not going to be like, I don't like you.
Yeah,
you're not going to say that right to their face.
You don't want
to
call anybody's baby ugly.
You called me ugly as a baby.
That's 100%
untrue. Or maybe mom.
I never did.
It probably was mom.
Mom does very famously think that some newborn babies look weird, but I always thought you were the most lovely thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That it probably was mom. She goes, Newborn babies look so weird.
Your mother loves you more than life itself.
Yeah.
Even if she probably did think you were weird looking.
I was very chunky. I had such a skinny body, but such a fat head.
You had cheeks the size of cantaloupes. It was unbelievable.
I was like those bobbleheads, like the really skinny ones.
Liz, each week we ask a very important question on this show. Can you deep fry this week's snack? Will it deep fry?
They're already fried.
Yeah, these are potato chips. They're already fried. We did say on the hoagie episode that you could deep fry a hoagie. Some people have. I think, Liz, what would be interesting is if you crushed up these chips and put them on a hoagie, like a topping, that would be a flavor bomb in and of itself. And then if you like deep fried that whole thing, yeah. A deep fried hoagie with hoagie chips on it, that's like hoagieception.
Yeah. Wait, can I talk about two things I made?
Yeah, please do.
The back of the box. So I made these. I ended up making the cucumber salad.
Oh, that's right. The one we talked about on the show, the Asian cucumber salad with the chopsticks. How was that?
So it was actually, it was really good.
Oh.
And we were missing a lot of the ingredients too. So we just kind of used like substitutes.
Okay.
Like instead of sesame oil, which would make it a lot better, we were supposed to use sesame oil. And instead we used olive oil because like...
Oh, yeah. Those are different tastes. Liz, we usually do have sesame oil because I use it when we make stir fries, but I had just finished the bottle not too long ago.
And we're supposed to put sesame seeds, too, which are also another flavor profile.
Yeah, we don't really keep those in the house because they're kind of a niche ingredient. Also, Grammy's allergic to sesame seeds.
Yeah. So we did that.
Okay.
And then yesterday, I was trying to like experiment and try to make a new drink, and it tasted like a rocket pop.
Oh, that's right. You showed me this, and it was really good looking, too. So why don't you tell everybody what you made, actually?
I made a name for it, by the way. I made a name for it.
Okay, what's it called?
Pop Juice.
Pop Juice.
Yeah.
Very, very creative. Go on.
So it's lemonade as a base.
Uh-huh.
And then in the lemonade, you pour a little bit of grenadine.
Okay, sure.
And then you like mix that up. And I was trying to find like what I could make for it to be blue.
Yes.
And so I found these little Kool-Aid pouches.
That's right.
Like the fruit punch, the blue fruit punch. So I literally cut a slit off the top of the juice box and poured it on top and just made this like ombre, like red, white, blue.
It was really nice looking. I mean, you put it in.
It was very bitter.
Well, the lemonade had a lot of sour punch to it.
Yeah.
The grenadine sort of gives it a more full flavor. It's sort of like a deeper flavor. And then obviously the blue Kool-Aid is just, you know, it's just sugar water, but it looked fantastic. It tasted good. It tasted like an embellished lemonade. I was really impressed by that.
Me too.
That's going to be a nice summer drink for us.
And I had like half of it left, and it was like a lot of ice in it too.
Yeah.
So it was half left. And today I tried it and it was so much better because it was like watered down and it wasn't as bitter and sugary.
Good idea. Way to experiment and iterate.
Yeah.
Fail fast, fail early, fix and finish.
Yeah.
Very good, Liz. Hey, it's time to check out the back of the box, a weekly segment where we play a little game. This week's segment is Famous Foods of Filmland.
Yeah.
On Famous Foods of Filmland, we try snacks from the silver screen. Liz, I'm going to call an audible because what? I've got something written up here and we were going to try some movie potato chips. We're going to save that for another day because I think there's something important we need to talk about first.
What?
We have cracked the code on butterbeer, Alyssa.
Oh, yes.
We have got a two-ingredient life hack for you. I hate saying that word because it's so
life
dumb.
Life hack.
And like cooked baby.
Life hack. Yeah, 5-minute exactly. Crafts.
Thanks. Liz.
What?
We did a whole episode on butterbeer and our quest to find the right recipe that mimics as closely as possible the butterbeer that you can get at Universal Studios in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And the path to that was lots of process and trial and error and stabilizers and procedures. And we were following the recipe from a guy named Todd Wilbur who makes what he calls top secret recipes, which are copycat recipes, essentially.
Yeah.
And Todd had cracked the code and he had figured out that if you use a bunch of industrial stabilizers, you can get the foam on top of the butterbeer to mostly be the same as the foam that's on the Harry Potter butterbeer. And it's like, it's essentially Cool Whip and marshmallow fluff that's watered down and flavored. So it's sort of like a butterscotchy, marshmallowy, very loose, very foamy, very oily topping that sits on top of nothing more than A&W cream soda, because that's, you know, about as close as we can get to the butterbeer base. Liz.
It was this easy.
We found this thing called cold foam. Well, what's cold foam, Liz?
Isn't it what you put on coffee?
Yeah, it's like a can of whipped cream, but it's like foam. It's the cold foam that you would put on top of like a fancy coffee drink.
We sound crazy talking about cold foam like we had no idea what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a real obviously thing, but this is a new product that just launched earlier this year, which is these like Ready Whip canisters essentially.
But it's cold foam.
Compressed under pressure foams, and when you spray them out through the nozzle, they come out initially like they're whipped cream, but they don't fluff up the same way that whipped cream does. They sort of sit with big lazy bubbles just on top of whatever you have to drink. And in this case, if you spray a layer of this cold foam, just the straight up standard sweetened cold foam on top of A&W cream soda, it looks and feels and tastes almost exactly like the butterbeer from the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal. So for anybody that likes this stuff, that likes butterbeer, that wants to do it at home, I implore you, this is the easiest thing in the world. Pour a can of A&W cream soda into a mug, top it with this spray cold foam, and that's it. That's all it takes. It's like instant.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by that. It even tastes the same. Like, it even has sort of that marshmallowy sort of almost butterscotchy flavor. It's International Delight sweet and creamy cold foam creamer in a whipped cream can. It's bonkers. I can't believe this exists.
It's practically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liz, that's it. We just had to tell the world about that because I didn't want to keep it to myself. We put it on our social media profiles, but if you haven't seen it, I hate saying that. Right. What am I doing with my life? We put it on our social media profiles, guys. Like, share, and subscribe.
We should make a TikTok account for it.
Oh, 100% no.
And showing the recipes for the weird food we make.
I tell you what, maybe you can outsource that to one of your friends who has TikTok. They can do that. You can do it with them. We would allow that.
No.
And you can make like the peace sign, duck face. Hey guys, what's up? Today we're going to make
Harry Potter Butterbeer. No, but like not your face, because I don't want to show my face.
Okay, well, thank goodness for that. Do you don't want mom to make fun of you anymore?
Yeah. Well, she'll pull up the video and she'll be like, hey guys, it's Alyssa back with another video. Like, stop it. She makes fun of me already on Snapchat. Like, get out of here.
Well, I mean, it's an easy target. You're very silly. That's great. Liz, any final thoughts for today?
No.
Well, in that case, this podcast should reach you in excellent condition, satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. If you've got a question for us, you can write to the address on the label. That's junkfeudpod@gmail.com. Last chance.
No.
No.
Ner.
Nar, Clear. This podcast has contained your recommended daily allowance of fun. For more, go to X, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, or wherever you choose to be social and find us at JunkFeudPod. You can watch fun size reviews on YouTube, buy our merch on TeePublic, and don't forget to catch all the snaction each and every week wherever you listen to podcasts. Till we see you again, for Alyssa, I'm Mike.
Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Bye.